Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world. And now, an important message from the Conveners of Imams, associated with the community of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, and I want to talk to you about something, that strikes at the very heart of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion, or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as a broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses that helped us to see and understand an even deeper and systemic, long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. You see, real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me for a We Too movement in which we say no more. You must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors. Hold workshops in your community. Invite in experts to learn more and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their worth, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? This has been a public service message from CWSC and EM360. Peace and blessings. As-salamu alaykum.
You are listening to W. Dean Muhammad, the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. And now, Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
The following lecture by Imam Muhammad is entitled Human Intellect, Part 2, recorded September 27, 1992, at the University of Illinois in Follinger Auditorium in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois.
I ain't listen to him. I don't want nobody to tell me. He's a traitor. He's a traitor to the black race. You know, make all up all kind of excuses. But if they heard Hitler was going to be here today, he was a traitor to the human race. They'd be all around there, standing all out there, wanting to see and hit, see and hear Hitler. Strange people. But that's the way things go, you know. But thank God, we do have some real, real wonderful people. And you're here right with me today. You're going to be with me in Robbins, Illinois, or wherever I go. I know that. We do have some real wonderful people. And we are growing. Don't think I'm saying this to say I'm downhearted. No, no. We are growing. Our situation is improving. Our knowledge is growing. And we are growing in spirit and hope and faith and in knowledge. We are growing. And I will say also in worldly means. We are growing. I'm hearing about the business people of our community throughout these United States, and I feel very proud of them. They are growing. And we expect that we will continue to grow. Allah is with us. We are Muslims. We follow the Quran, the guidance of God, and we follow the example that God gave us, the human example, Muhammad the Prophet. So we should be successful, and we will be successful always. We all want to raise our grade level. This is true for all types in society. The serious-minded want to excel in the eyes of others and in the looking glass that he looks into himself. He wants to excel. He wants to be a little better. If he's vain, he just make himself look a little pretty cosmetic, you know, use a little cosmetic touch. But if he's have a man, a person of little depth, he will question his soul as he looks into the mirror. And he wants to make improvements on his soul as well as on his outer appearance. The jokers want to excel among the jokers and also in the looking glass too. We all have egos and the inherent need to feel good about our grade level. We have that inherent need to feel good about our grade level. The stupid person wants to feel good about his grade level. The person who delights in being stupid, he wants to feel good about his grade level. If he didn't prove himself to be more stupid than his challenger, he feels degraded. And he works hard at being more stupid than his challenger, you see. So whether it's negative or positive, all of us are striving for excellence, aren't we? I guess Satan, he wanted to be an excellent opponent to man, and he proved himself fit for that challenge. Because he is an excellent opponent to man. Satan, the devil. The aim for excellence is a motivation in our flesh and bones. That's what we mean by inherent. It's in our very flesh and bones. It's our life, that motivation. Moreover, it's human and community service that we want. That's in our very nature. We want to be of human and of community service. Some people gain national dominance after being told the purpose that their purpose on this earth is to rule the earth. Now, I've studied history and myths, and I find that that language is in the history and myths of nations past and some still existing. They were sensitized to believe that their purpose on this earth is to rule the earth. That they are special, they are to rule other people. They are to be superior. Others gain national dominance after being told their purpose on this earth is to excel in rendering services that benefit the whole of the earth. Their purpose is to excel, compete with others, and to excel even their own achievement, their own margin of achievement, to excel, beat that much, like an Olympic competition, a person competing in the Olympics. He comes to the Olympics to compete there, but he is also outside of the Olympics. He's competing with his last high score, to beat his last high score. He's challenging himself to excel, to beat the last score, get a better score. Dear people, we on this earth to compete in rendering of service of the greatest use of benefit to the greatest number of people on this earth. This service may sound to you, or this idea may sound philosophical. We are here on this earth to serve the betterment of life. The betterment of life. Our prophet, prayers and peace be on him, he said, the best of you, khayrukum, man yanfa nas, are those who benefit people. The best of you are those who benefit people, who are useful to human beings, useful to the people. The best of you. And we know he also pointed to other attributes or other merits to identify the best of us. But that's one of them. Our service to humanity is one of them. That we can't live a life, a selfish life, not caring about how our life is going to affect another person. We have to care about how our life is going to influence and affect another person. We got to live to make a contribution to the life, the human life, the life of human community. First of all, beginning with the nearest to you, yourself, your family, your immediate family, and then extending out to embrace or to encompass the whole community on this earth, all nations, all people. This is what God wants from us. And he gave us models in his prophets and messengers to show us that. Muhammad the Prophet, he established that. He lived that. He didn't live for white or black or for Arab or non-Arab. He lived for humanity. His service was service to humanity. Now I hear some angels whispering, but the service is to Allah. But Allah says, nothing reach him but your obedience, your taqwa. We're supposed to do it respecting Allah above all things. We're supposed to do it to please Allah above all who want us to please. But Allah does not wait for us to help him with money or with science or with social service or with medicine. He needs none of that. Or with good counseling. Allah doesn't need any of that. We need that. So our usefulness is not a benefit to God. Our usefulness is a benefit to mankind. And that's why the Prophet said, man yanfa nas, who benefits people the most. Philosophically speaking, our passions that overpower us when taking on some desire, some interest, can be a woman, can be an opportunity to earn better income, whatever it is. Passions will take us up, overpower us and take us up. Same passions may take us down, down to ruin, down to corruption. These passions are passions for life in the broadest context of life. But we can't understand that. We can't realize that. Everything is connected. I love this woman, and I think that this love is just for that woman, maybe. I become so much occupied with her that I think that all this love is just for her. No. She was put here. She has relatives. She has persons she loves. You see, love can't be all for her. She will have children. The love can't be all for her. Maybe. If she has no children, that doesn't matter. The love can't be all for her. They're going to arise interest between the two of you. You're going to share interests. And if you don't give some of your love to those interests, how can you love a woman who has interests and not love her interests? So you see, love is for life. Life. And the human being is a living. That's why we love it. You don't love a dead woman, do you? If you do, you're really out of it. You love the memory of a dead woman, but you don't love a dead woman. Yeah. So love is for the living. Love is for the living. And it's for all the living. And the more you grow in love for life, love life. You're supposed to love life. Love life in its excellence. Love life in its beauty. Love life in its intended direction that God gave it. Love life. You're supposed to love life. Don't love death. Don't love disease. Don't love misery. Don't love pain. Marquis de Sade, he loved pain. You know what? Don't love that. Love life. Love life in its excellence. Love life in its beauty. Love life in its intended direction that God gave it. Love life. You're supposed to love life. And those who will love animals, they are more mature in their love for humans than those who love humans and don't love animals. Yes. I don't like a person who loves only human beings but don't love animals. Something in me won't let me like them. No, if you want to become more bigger and more mature in your love, more complete in your capacity for love, you have to love life, all life. Because all life is one and interconnected. All life is one and interconnected. If we had this kind of love for Allah, love for His creation, love for life, we wouldn't have the serious problems of ecology that we have now, would we? No, we wouldn't have the serious problems of endangering certain species, even man, polluting the air, polluting waters, making all these serious problems. We wouldn't have that if the love for life had been given us from childhood and had been put into our culture, or even into our curriculum, our school curriculum. No, we wouldn't have this all these serious problems. This is what I register when I read the Quran and when I study Muhammad the Prophet. Muhammad the Prophet didn't only teach respect, good treatment to animals, but also even to vegetation and trees. He said, see that you harm no tree when you go to war with the people. Don't destroy their crops, damage their trees. Don't attack the person unless they bear an arm. That's what the Prophet said. Peace be upon him. Prayers and peace be upon him. Don't attack anyone that's not a bearing arm. Are these Muslims throughout the world behaving like that now? Who are they following? They're not following that great man that I'm talking about. Their behavior doesn't say so. We should understand that we do not give up love. We transfer love. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. You may be disappointed in your mate or disappointed in your father, your mother, sister, or brother, or friend. And the great love that you were giving them, you may hate that you were giving them all that love. You may cut it off. That love is going to be transferred to something else. That love is there. It's not going to go away. It's only going to be shifted, directed, redirected to something else. You're going to give it to self-destruction. Are you going to give it to selfishness? Are you going to give it to correcting your ways? You're going to love the things that are best for you more. You're going to see that that person was a problem for you, and I've been neglecting myself. I haven't been putting my priorities in order, and I've been putting values and seeing my values incorrectly. Now I'm going, so that love is transferred and shifted to other places, right? Yes. Some will go and buy a dog, go buy a little puppy. So what am I saying this to say? See, I told you my father was a psychologist, unlicensed, and I am too. I'm saying that to say this. God created the human being with the biggest capacity for love. But if he's not keeping to the lifeline, the human lifeline, the real lifeline of human life, the lifeline of excellence, if he's not keeping to that, if he's alienated from that, then he can become the worst. God says that he created, us in the best of most, but consequently, some fall to the lowest of the low. Some fall to the lowest of the low. You see? So that's the possibility for us because of this limited freedom or this free will we have. Now, when I see the African-American people giving themselves to foolishness, following the popular trend to just give all their free time to music, songs, dance, street talk, and if not that, self-destruction, drug abuse, violence, murder. When I see that, I see misdirected love and a reversal even of love. You know, they say love and hate are just two sides of the same coin. One side is head, the other is tail. I don't think that's a perfect description, but it does help to give us to give a picture of how love and hate operate. You know, you love, and that love becomes less and less and less and less until you get to a point where you can't recognize any love. Then it starts to be hate. Little hate, little more and more. That's how it goes. Devotional urge in our nature is very important. Devotional urge is the strongest force in human life. Devotional urge. Now, we say, that boy of mine, he just wastes his life. He's not devoted to anything. Yes, he is. He's devoted to wasting his life. Everybody is going to be devoted to something. Look how strong the devotional nature is in us. Allah says in the Quran, says, and glorify God. Be excited about the new religion with the equal passion, equal enthusiasm that you had for the false God. Say, and even with more enthusiasm than that. This is what Allah tells in the Quran. That's addressed to the Meccans who were idolaters and who were all excited and made great celebrations and great spiritual show in worshiping or service to their false gods. So the Quran is bringing to their attention that, look, you're not respecting your own intelligence. Now here God has blessed you with really a religion that gives you a good image, gives you excellent image, gives you excellent opportunity, makes you feel good about yourself, and you are not as excited about this as you were about that ignorance that you worship in the days of ignorance or jahiliyyah. You see? That's what Allah is saying to them. So what does that tell me? That tells me that the devotional nature is very strong. Those people, they were giving their devotion blindly to those things. They were giving their devotion blindly to those things. So when they open their eyes and see with their reasoning, sometimes they don't give as much recognition and devotion to the new enlightenment or to the new value that they have. You see? And many of you are like that. Many of you would be saying, oh, praise you to Allah for all of me, jumping up on your feet every 2 minutes. Oh, praise, stand up for all of Elijah Muhammad. And get your quick charge and go back and repeat the same thing again. But you are not excited today. You're not excited today. Yeah, you're excited. So you need to read the Quran and say, no, when Allah bless you with Quran and the real religion of Islam, you wake up and realize that you are cheating yourself and you are cheating what you've been given by not showing at least equal enthusiasm when we should really show more enthusiasm. Devotional urge is very strong in us. We're going to be devoted to something. That devotion is going to eventually lead us to correct our ways, to correct our life, and follow the line of excellence in our life, or it's going to destroy us. It's going to destroy us. Without direction, without faith in human excellence, without faith in the direction of life that God gave when he created human beings, we find most of our youngsters, they're giving themselves to idleness, giving themselves to self-destruction, too many giving themselves to drugs and violence and even murder. What draws them to the game? Devotional nature. The devotional nature. They don't see anything. We can't show them anything that makes them feel that this is worthwhile devoting themselves to. So they're devoted to the gang solidarity, camaraderie, support from each other. That's what they're devoted to, you see? And then they go and tax and they get their own interest and they go and tax. We were coming through a neighborhood last week, and it was frightening. We saw it looked like 100 and some boys. It had to be 140 boys or more. And they were just roaming the street. It was a little bit after dusk dark. Dangerous, very dangerous. And we said, we know something is going to happen terrible tonight. No way that many boys can get together and nothing happened to sadden their families, their mothers, their fathers, their friends. I'm sure something happened because they have a sense of power. When the more the numbers, the more sense of power they have. And they're young, so they become drunk. They get drunk. They're made drunk by the sense of power, and they have to realize it. They have to execute it. They have to exercise that power on somebody. They're just not going to have it. They don't have the maturity to have that kind of great weapon and don't not use it. So they have that great sense of power. They're going to attack some innocent boy or rob somebody or challenge another group of boys and beat up, kill up each other, you see? Human life is very complex. It's not simple. It's very complex. Human life is not something to take for granted. We can't manage human life like we managed cooking breakfast this morning. It's much more complicated than that. We should take seriously the management of our own human life. And any idea, whether it's religious or worldly, any idea that encourages the individual human person to accept more responsibility for the management of their own individual personal life is one that I support and appreciate. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the idea is. If it encourages the human person, individual human person, to accept more responsibility for the management of their individual human life, their own personal life, I have to salute that idea and feel very comfortable with it. But any idea that just call us to a surface level pride, to be proud of our race because we are black skinned, because we don't burn in the sun. We burn in the shade. You know, that stuff is foolish to me. It's foolishness to me. You know, God has given every people something that is uniquely their own. And you can see merits and demerits in all of us. If you're rational-minded and intelligent, you can be led by rational discussion to accept that no race has any real basis for claiming a superiority over another. And I'm tired of seeing our people, African-American people, following those who sell artificial pride to our people. I'm tired of that. I am. I don't have much sympathy with people like that anymore. I don't have much patience with people like that anymore. Just selling people false ideas of their origin, false ideas of their greatness. That's silly. Your real greatness is right with you. It's in your heart and in your intellect. That's where your real greatness is. It's not in the color of your skin. The color of your skin, God says he has given us the differences of color and even the differences of our language, the tongues, the languages, as signs. As a sign. Those who are led by the devil, by the deceiver, they take sign in one people to be a sign only for that people. When the sign in every people is a sign for all people. Yes, our black skin is a sign of what's in all people. He may be red, he may be brown, he may be white. Our black skin is a sign of what's in him too. And his skin is white, his sign is his color, is a sign of what's in all people. Though our skin be black, his skin is a sign of what's in us too. But the Satan, he deceived the people to think, to mistranslate, to misinterpret the signs that God gave. And he makes the race, the white race, think that blackness is only a sign of what's in us who wear blackness. Who wear blackness, you see? The light, when it's shone, broken up into its different parts through the raindrops as a rainbow, we see the light that is really, they say, white light. But no, the white light is invisible. It's not white.
We'll be right back after these brief announcements. Thank you for your continued support for Imam W.D. Muhammad Ministry. Your contributions are sincerely appreciated. Send your donations to the Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. That's the Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. Thank you. And now we return to Imam W.D. Muhammad. Please turn the tape over to side two for more of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
That bulb is white. That's fire. But as the light we see by is not white, it's invisible. If it was white, you couldn't see. Transparent. Transparent. But the prism or the rain, the water, will break up the light and show its various colors to us. Now, the red we see in the spectrum, does it tell us what's in red only? No, it tells us what's in light. Now, if you can understand light as being, if you could follow my comparison I'm making here, we all are human. Human. And the various colors that we have on our faces are signs of what's in every human. What's in every human? Your blackness on your face is a sign of faith. It's a sign of obedience, blind obedience. Faith and blind obedience. It is a sign of rest. But it is also a sign of death. It is also a sign of ignorance. Why? Because the beginning of the intellect is ignorance. When the intellect first comes into existence, it knows nothing. It's ignorance. Ignorance. And the wisest of men is the man who says to God, God, I'm ignorant. God, I know nothing. You know all. So the wisest of intellect is the black intellect, not the white one. Not the one that boasts, I know everything. Not the one that's trying to show off and trying to present itself as the bright light. That's not the wisest of intellect. The wisest of intellect is the intellect that shows itself black. God, I know nothing. I know nothing. Doesn't mean that it knows nothing, but it is not, the intellect is not giving itself credit for what it knows. And it's realizing that though it knows a lot, it's still depending on God. You see? So that requires great faith too. So if I would discuss to you the symbolic meanings of the term black, you will find that black has ugly meaning and black has beautiful meaning. Black has such beautiful meaning to the Arab people that they use a derivative from the term black to address each other with respect or honor. Sayyid, as Sayyid so and so and so. They still do that. As Sayyid so and so. It comes from Sud, means black. But mind you, I say the same attributes that's in you are in all other people, in you and all other people. And the same in them are in them and all other people. So you're white too. And white has mostly beautiful meanings, especially in white culture. But in some other cultures, white doesn't have all beautiful meanings. It has also some bad meanings. Now, I'm not here ever to make anybody uncomfortable. That's not my purpose. I never want to do that. I'm not here ever to discredit anybody's ideas or beliefs. That's not my desire to ever do that. So I hope I'm helping and not hurting. Yes. There's a lot to say about that, but I... I thank Allah. I can look at a man in his face. I don't care what color he is. And his color won't prejudice me against him. No. I wasn't always like that. But I thank Allah. The influence of Quran, Islam on my life, has brought me to look any man in his face, and I will not be influenced by the color of his skin to judge him or to disrespect him or to place or to evaluate him. No. Mm-mm. I don't. Dr. Martin Luther King, he said, he prayed, his words were a kind of prayer, that one day people will be accepted for the content of their character rather than for the color of their skin. Well, I thank God that I can tell Dr. King if he's here. Dr. King, if you're listening, I'm telling you now, Wallace D. Muhammad has lived to measure up to what you hope for. I will not judge a man by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. And many times I won't even judge him by the content of his character. Because I find that too many of us are innocent. We didn't do that to our character. We couldn't help it. We're just victims. And if you're shown the right way, you'll come out of the bad character into a good one. When we devote ourselves to destruction, it is a desperate cry in us to be saved from ourselves. That's what's happening. When we see our youngsters devoting themselves to destruction out there, they are crying, they are desperate, and they are crying out to the society, save us from ourselves. Our parents couldn't save us from ourselves. Our homes couldn't save us from ourselves. Now we're in the streets, and you see us, the whole society, you're looking at us, please save us from ourselves. You'd be surprised how the psychology of the human being works. They're not aware of themselves that their behavior is really a desperate cry for someone to save them. They're not aware of that themselves. They're needing help. Their nature's doing that because their minds have become disabled. Disabled. And it's the society's fault more than it is anybody else's fault. The whole society. Can't blame it on the individual parent. All those responsibilities first on the home, on the parents in the home. But when they call it the super culture, the super influence. When the super influence of the world meets your little small influence at home, you ain't no competition for it. You are no competition for it. The child turns on television and everybody's behaving that way. It's the way of the world. It's the accepted way of the world. Child go out in the street and everybody everybody saying that, talking that language, and he comes back home, you talking a different language. No, your little strength that you have is nothing. The superego is too much for the ego. And the superego comes from the environment. Is the ego you get from the environment. Yes. Desperate cry to be saved from ourselves. Or it is a desperate protest against a world that accommodated our fall from divine grace, that accommodated an influence, a cultural influence, that exploits and maximizes the desire in us to sin against our human devotional aims. Allah says that He did not create the human or the jinn except for His worship, except to obey Him, to serve Him. Illa liya'budun. Except to worship Him, except to serve Him, except to obey Him. This is not only an invitation for us to obey Allah, heed His guidance, respect His guidance, and follow Quran and Muhammad. That's not an invitation to that only. That's an eye-opener. That's an eye-opener for the person who's curious, for the person who wants insight into things. That's an eye-opener. It's to tell us that if we give this devotional nature to fractions of the whole, it's going to eventually disappoint us. But if we give this devotional nature to the whole, it won't disappoint us. And there's no way to give it to the whole without giving it to the cause behind the whole, and that is God. Why should we give all our attention to race, sex, money, and unqualified freedom? The answer is understood best when we understand that there's a terminal conflict involving human motivation, terminal conflict that will lead to death, the end, total destruction. Terminal conflict involving human motivation is alienation. It's leaving, breaking off from the human interest. From the human interest, going off from the human interest, going off from the line of human excellence. For the fashion look, you know, whatever is fashionable today. I used to try to keep up with the fads, but now look like it's all blended into one thing. All you have to do to be in fashion now is just look like you just got out of Sherwood Forest bed. But for the fashion look, some will give up all their earnings. And will only enjoy a short-term high. Because the fashion is going to change, you see. But while spending all our earnings on these short-term highs, we are neglecting our families and our community. And that neglect is not short term, it's long term. family and community establishment is the goal in our devotional nature. Want to be devoted to art, want to be devoted to industry, whatever, science, whatever. All of that is to improve the life of community. So we have better families, better neighborhoods, better communities, better towns, better nations, better communities. That nature, in that nature, is where the law resides. The law which rewards us or punishes us. And the language in Islam, Al-Qadru Khayrihi wa Sharrihi min Allah Ta'ala. The ordinance of the law of reward and punishment is from Allah the Most High. But it operates in our social nature. It operates right. The best way to provide a condition for us to continue to move in the line of excellence is to acknowledge Creator, that this world did not happen by chance, that this world is the work, this world is the original work of God, the Creator. He designed it. He created it. And he is the best to guide us. One prophet in the Quran, he was challenged by the mighty, powerful ruler who took even divine authority into his own hands and thought he had power over life and death. Then this prophet replied to him. He said, "The Lord," he said, "the God who created me is the God that will guide me. The God who created me is the God that will guide me." There's great knowledge in that. There's great knowledge in that. God placed guidance in the creation. He's the creator of the creation, and he put guidance in the creation. Our religion teaches us to have a respect for creation, to value creation, and to never think ourselves to be the owners of creation. And to never think ourselves to be bigger than creation or a bigger issue than creation itself. Allah Most High tells in the Quran, "O man, think not that your creation is a bigger matter than the creation of the heavens and the earth." So where Allah lifts us up and wants us to feel good about ourselves, that he made us Khalifa on earth and put us in a situation, if we obey him and follow the excellence in our nature, we can get utility, he says, from the skies and from the earth. We can utilize what's in the skies and what's in the earth. And that's what modern science and technology has done and is doing. It is utilizing what's in the skies and what's in the earth. God told us that 1,400 years ago. سَحَلَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْعَرْضِ, that he has made utility for you in what you see in the heavens and what you see in the earth. While he has paid such great respect to us and honored us so highly, he's also cautioned us too that we don't get big-headed while we are realizing the great resources and benefits of natural creation and natural law, that we think ourselves to be more important than this great vast creation we call the material universe or the material system. No. From which we are born. and grow. We are born upon this creation, and we grow upon this creation. You who, some of you here, I'm sure you're in college, you're in the university, you're attending the university. I'm sure you can appreciate what I'm saying. You know that all the knowledge you have in the best of your books in your library are nothing but revelation of what is in matter, creation, life, as God made it himself. Now, I'm sure you wouldn't be a fool to say no to that. In fact, it makes the student's heart feel good when he understands that really all of his knowledge, all of his science, and all of his knowledge that he's getting is only an unfolding of creation itself, an unfolding and illumination of matter in his own mind. Isn't that wonderful? This is the respect we need to build in our children and build in our students and build in our adult members for creation. And Allah wants us to respect creation, but to realize that we ourselves are creation and subject to the power, the overpowering forces of creation itself. If we don't follow the God who's over creation, then the creation itself is too much for us. It will overpower us and bring us down to the lowest of the low. Yes. The only power to contend with matter itself is God. And the only way we can manage matter itself, we have to have our obedience to, and give it to God. Yes, give it to God. Then you're safe. The motivation for our people when they were freed from slavery was a motivation to excellence. They wanted to become better. They were told that they were a slave class, that they, the people who were of the mind that blacks were inferior told our people, our foreparents, that they were fit for slavery and weren't fit for freedom. That God created them to be slaves. That's what we were told. That's what our parents, our foreparents were told. So when we were freed, the motivation was to get opportunity for that was enslaved. The flesh body itself wasn't only enslaved. The mind was restricted. We wanted freedom for our minds. We wanted to take our minds to education, take our minds to better books, take our minds to better situations for the growth of our minds. So we were motivated by the need for excellence or growth along the line of excellence, huh? We were needing to satisfy the aim of excellence in our life that couldn't be satisfied when we were held forcefully to a class or status of slaves. Now we're free. What are we going to do with that? We're free now. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to give our minds to music, song, dance, rhythm, dope, drugs, sex, just senseless sex? Sex with no human base? Anything without a human base, without a base of human value. You have to have human value in the base of everything. If you don't have the human value in the base of anything, then that thing is going to become destructive for you as a human being. Sex. You can't just have sex life and sexual activities without appreciating human values in the very base of sex life. Human values should be in the very base of sex life. And this is what God reveals to us when we reveal the Quran. This is what the Prophet wanted to lead us to. This kind of respect where no matter what we devote ourselves to, all of us are not going to be the same. Some of us will be politically inclined. Some of us will be medically inclined. Some of us will be musically inclined. We're going to be inclined different ways. God says that. To each of you is an inclination. To each of you is an attraction. But turn all your faces to this Qibla. That's what God says. That Qibla is a sign of the original worth of the human being, the original value. Turn your attention to your original value, to your original excellence that made possible home life, social evolution, progress, and the eventual illumination of your mind, the receiving of revelation from God. So God wants us to keep that human base and the human values there. in the base, keep that in the base of all of our interests, then we will have success. In my closing, certainly I'm a man of race consciousness. And I feel good to say I'm a member of the black race or the African-American people. Certainly I do. And my soul would never be satisfied if I ignored that. Yes, my soul could never be satisfied if I ignored the need in me to feel good as a member of my people or my race. And we have a great life and a great history. But the devil, Satan, his influences, the satanic culture of the West, has just shattered our senses and wasted so many of us. But that doesn't mean we are lost and hopeless. No, we're not lost and hopeless. We have great minds in the Christian community, great minds in the Muslim community, great minds in the on these campuses, great minds out there in the streets. We have African Americans that are still decided upon bettering the condition of this race we call the black race. Our case is not hopeless. You are just hearing too much noise from those that don't count, and you're not hearing enough noise from us that do count. And I feel very good about our progress. We are progressing as a people. We have great minds, great people, with great human character, great hearts. And they are working in many places in these United States, all over these United States. They are men and they are women. They are in all areas of human interest. But I won't be really satisfied until we have what I think we started out to have, and I believe we had it for a long time, up until maybe the civil rights, heydays of the civil rights movement, when confrontation on the streets with the white man and in the public eye took us away from that. What I'm talking about is men who volunteered and women who volunteered to keep watch on the condition of the black race, of the African-American people, and meet with each other and discuss the condition of their people and not go out and talk to the white man and complain to him before themselves diagnosing our case and coming up with some information to address our needs and to address our problems, to address our needs and problems and whatever and sicknesses and begin to preach through newspapers, through black newspapers, and preach from rostrums, from podiums like this. Preach to the masses that we have to fight these influences. God didn't create us for this. God didn't put us on this earth for this. We have to keep God up in our mind, keep God before us. We have to remember our destiny. We had a sense of destiny with those people. And I hope that we will be influential in forming again an African-American intelligentsia that watches over the needs of our people. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
You've been listening to the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. You are cordially invited to visit your local masjid or Islamic center for Friday Jumu'ah and Sunday Taaleem. Check the Muslim Journal newspaper for the dates and time in your area. Thank you for listening.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Thank you so much for tuning in to Narrative Aspirations when we aspire, we go higher. We are going to go right into the second part of our program today. We are going to interview a very special brother who has a story to tell on how he is remaking the world into a better place for all people. I'm going to read his bio. Assalamu alaikum, greetings and of peace to you and, of course, the American Muslim 360 listeners. His name is Brother Umar Ibn Tariq Akil. His age is age 56. Date of birth, January 5th, 1968. He is married. And he was born in Los Angeles, California. And so we are going to go ahead and learn a little more about Brother Umar tonight. He currently resides in Loma Linda, San Bernardino, California. He has three children, biological sons, and two stepsons and one stepdaughter. His education, he has a high school diploma and current certifications in anger management, criminal and gang anonymous, suicide and grief awareness, domestic violence, and human transformation. Up and coming, soon to be available, he has a publication of the self-help curriculum, which has an acronym of SWOLL, Sober Way of Living Life, Framework for Recovery, Insight into Our Addiction. At this time, we are going to welcome Umar Ibn Tariq Akil. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
American Muslim 360, how are you?
I am well, and we thank you for joining us tonight. We hope that you got something from our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay, and we are grateful that you are able to grace us tonight, and we look forward to you coming back to join us again, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay. And so what we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity to share with our listening audience a little bit of more about who you are and how you got started building a model community for all people. Just give us a little bit more about who you are, anything that I did not mention in your brief bio, your humble bio, inshallah.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, American Muslim 360. Primarily, praise be to Allah. Grew up, as you stated, in Los Angeles, California. Succumbed, like most children in urban societies, to the dysfunctional norms. By that, I mean, you know, your current gang membership, substance abuse, you name it. You know, born and raised around criminality, had a very early on encounter with law enforcement in a negative sense. Single mother, God rest her soul, my mother, Claire McGrady, wonderful mother, working with the best that she had under those circumstances and giving me all that she had from what she knew. However, being a single mother, like most black single women that are mothers, she was really like no match for those streets once I left outside of her door. Began a cycle of incarceration as a child, juvenile hall, county camps, YAs, and eventually California prison systems. Anytime you couple criminality with addiction, that's what you end up with, a perpetual cycle of that. Didn't know at that time that I was a problem to my community. Didn't see it that way because there was nothing in my environment doing opposite of what it was that we were doing, starting with myself. So all those things was normal for us. Alhamdulillah, in 1996, if I can fast forward, I was blessed by Allah to take my shahada, become Muslim, and came into Islam very excited, as I still am at the age of 56, about this way of life, but didn't understand the work that I needed to do individually as a Muslim man, as a Muslim young man at that time, that Islam is not a cure-all, it's not a panacea. We have our work to do, and I failed myself and not understanding that. And so though I became a Muslim in 1996, the actual application and the beauty of what Islam can do regarding human transformation, I missed all of that. So I had more hurdles to climb, and I did, which involved more recidivism, more criminality, more damaging my community. And Allah in his mercy kept me. In spite of all of my misgivings and failures, he kept me. Alhamdulillah. From those trials and tribulations came a lot of lessons. My imam has always been experience, if I can say it that way. And so after a turbulent time of being inside, and then Allah blessing me to come out of there after many, many years, I have devoted my life, alhamdulillah, to a message of rehabilitation, human transformation, mentoring the young, starting with myself and this new ideal that I have that Allah has given me regarding being a better person, a civilized human being in society, that when you see me, praise be to Allah, you feel safe as opposed to before. And that is my walk and that is my journey for now at this point, and I thank Allah for that. Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So we're going to take a short station break, and we thank you for that introduction. We want you to give us a little information about your organization and the population that it serves when we come right back. We're grateful to have you. Listening audience, be ready to press 1 to come into the queue after Umar Ibn Tariq Akil gives us this information. We will start opening up the mic for questions, and we are grateful for him to be here with us.
Stop the music.
Form alliances, be conscious, believe, make efforts, be persistent in making an effort, the right effort. Don't let up, keep the drive, but also form alliances to be successful. And that's what this conference invites us to. This conference, by its very presence and the makeup of this conference, the persons who are here, their personal experiences, knowledge, and resources. And a community needs to hear from males and females, not just males. And then someone who is knowledgeable of the makeup of this conference, the persons and the skills, someone should know all of us, should have pretty good knowledge of all of us and what we have to offer. If we don't have this, we can grow into this. You know, maybe I'm speaking beyond what we have right now. But that doesn't mean we can't do this. We have to grow into it if we don't have it.
Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be with you. I'm Mukhtar Muhammad, Executive Director for the Community Wide Shura Conference, or CWSC, a national intelligentsia in the parent corporation for American Muslim 360. I'm inviting you to be my guest on a special series entitled Getting to Know the CWSC, and it'll be in place of our regularly scheduled Friday roundtable. But don't worry, Mark Shaheed will be back in the host seat the following Friday. Getting to Know the CWSC will air every 8 weeks. This new program will be a unique opportunity to hear directly from the executive director. It will be an in-depth discussion on the conceptualization and building a national intelligentsia to serve the group intellect. We'll take you inside our architecture, mission, vision, and guiding principles, and our family of intelligentsia components, including America Muslim 360. So stay tuned to hear more about Getting to Know the CWSC. I look forward to talking with you soon. Assalamu alaikum.
And we are back on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. So, Brother Umar, if you would go ahead and give us a little bit of information about your organization and how it came to be and the population that you serve, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran, American Muslim 360. So not so much an organization, more of a ministry, excuse me, if I can say it that way. And the mission statement basically is centered around utilizing personal experience with substance abuse, which is extremely extensive, subhanAllah. But out of that turbulent time came a huge testimony and a lot of information. And I subscribe to the ayat in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us clearly that you are the best of people created, the best community of people created for the purpose of serving Allah and humanity. So my devotion and my work, as you say, organization, alhamdulillah, is committed to assisting other people. It does not matter what nationality, that are suffering from substance abuse. Now, particularly the Muslim, because oftentimes we tend to think that Muslims or religious people, period, but particularly Muslims, do not have an issue or suffer from substance abuse along with mental health. And so my purpose and my methodology, if I can say it that way, is first of all a door of transparency, sharing of myself regarding my life and pertinent parts of things that I experienced, and getting down to the root of why substance abuse took place in my life, because the identity of a substance abuse user is pretty much the same. None of us had a drug problem. We had a living problem. And when we are not able to manage our emotions that are filled with turbulence from trauma in our lives, generally from a young age, we look for ways of ease and comfort as described by our clinical perspective of malady of the spirit. So my work, alhamdulillah, is putting myself in a position of being available to anyone who is in need of counseling that is actually at a rock bottom level of wanting to understand that this is not a life that they want. I keep myself busy, praise be to Allah, through numerous phone calls and interviews such as this. But the work of Sober Way of Living Life in particularly is a comprehensive guide, a framework for recovery and insight into our addiction, and getting into the underlying issues, the underlying causes of why we use substance abuse to the detriment of disrespecting our family, leaving our God, leaving our loved ones, and running rampant through our communities. And so my work, as you say, my organization, alhamdulillah, is committed to individuals or a collective group setting of counseling, but sharing of self as to how we can try to do our part to make our community, our communities, safe. But it takes men and women who are willing to do the work and get down to the bottom line of why we've allowed ourselves to be tangled in that particular web of substance abuse. Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Now, if I can interject here, we do have a caller. Would you like to take the caller at this time, or you would want to finish saying what you're going to share?
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. 706-627. Welcome to Narrative Aspiration.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way of Columbus, Georgia. And to support what you are saying, Brother Omar, is very important, because going into the institutions myself to talk to Muslims when I was in the Nation of Islam, along with some of the other leaders at that time, it's good to remember that the Quran and those who are responsible for delivering and living and building the life that's supposed to come out of the Quran has been going into the institutions and seeing what you have explained, what has happened to many of us, adults, children, grandchildren, and still we are under an addiction that is drunk off of what they would call religion, but we said a way of life that they can't live. And that's what makes it easy for Shaitan to invite you to feel that same feeling on all levels of our development, spiritual, intellectual, emotional, etc. And this addiction is what's making it so hard for the human being to go forward into accepting the responsibility of being a believing Muslim. And they're still caught between a clean slate and intellectual, spiritual, secretion back upon what Allah has made clear for you and easy for us. So do like what you've been doing. and getting the proper expression of your rights, first of all, to the United States government. You have rights to all the money that helps you do the work that you're talking about now. You have a right to apply for it, which I know, and you should try to increase it, get with those who can help you get those block grants, get those social grants and things that you need to continue to bring that mission forward. But also we have to remember that the model example for the success that you are talking about is based on how well you call your leadership to shore, how you call your people to shore and share in with this work that we all have a right to have the United States government, county, city, that money that is given to help addiction and other communities, ways of life or intellect, we have that right also to use to put, to help us build this model, halal intellect, halal emotions, halal relationships, et cetera. And it will be much easier for you because we've been working on that since, I'm talking at least 1968, and still our imams and chaplains who have went into the institution all these years still do not have found out and understood the leadership that Imam Muhammad brought about, because around about that same year when, that you said you embraced al-Islam, 96, 95, about 10 years before that, Imam Muhammad had told all of his imams, get out of these institutions and spend your time preparing halfway homes for those when our when us or anybody else get released from incarceration. They can come and learn the moral structure that they're going to need, the spiritual structure they're going to need, the intellectual academia structure that they're going to have to develop so that they could be responsible, contributing human examples of what America needs. And we have been chosen to do that, but we have to live it. We have to live it. So keep up the good work, and I'm praying that what we're saying and what I heard you say tonight and what the response that I'm giving you and others will give you during the night, that we have to let our leadership know to support the good works that you're doing. You have a mission that Allah has given you through experience to share with our youth and our grandchildren. Because if you don't, they will be seduced and put back in that drug state that they're in right now. Remember, we was warned years ago that don't let this way of life make you drunk, being so intelligent, wanting to be done. I'm God, because we were drunk before in Islam when we thought we was God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking we was black gods and things. So that stuff not gone away, like you said. It's out there still waiting because we have not left this environment and establishing the model example of what creation and life is all about for real, starting right here where we are. Just want to say that. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, dear brother. Thank you so very much.
Alhamdulillah, thank you very much for your comments. And inshallah, we can continue to support Brother Umar. He can give us some information on how to support him and how we can connect with him before we end this broadcast tonight. So, Brother Umar, if you would continue, give us some information on how you came up with the acronym, and also just finish your thought process, inshallah. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. I want to thank the caller that called in and his very accelerated support and ideas that is much appreciated. Praise be to Allah. In response to your question, how can someone help and support the movement of rehabilitation that I work in and sobriety? MashaAllah. There is going to be an email address at the end of our interview, inshallah, that I will provide for those who wish to contact me for open discussion, ideas, any patterns, models of patterns that they believe could be useful. I am not set in stone with a particular system as it relates to outside of the curriculum of sober way of living life that I'm not open for more development and growth. We are always open for more ideas and growth. Alhamdulillah. So one of the ways that anyone can make a contribution is simply by spreading this message and being involved. There are not any platforms right now that I utilize seeking funds or anything like that. I would simply ask, diligently and heartfeltly ask, that if you are listening to this broadcast, alhamdulillah, your input through your life example, if you are someone who has struggled with addiction and you are now in the seat of sobriety, or if you've never had a substance abuse problem, but you're hearing this broadcast, take this information from the caller, myself, and also AM360 that is allowing us this platform, and continue to encourage sober way of living life for every day, for everyone. Because the reality is that when we are caught up in substance abuse, what we're doing is we're running from uncomfortable emotions that we don't know how to manage. Most people are not really keen or can afford what we know to be therapy, to go inside an office, sit on a couch, and have someone actually take the time to counsel us and draw out of us, why are you involved with substance abuse? No. In fact, the majority of us that are caught up in that web, we run from that. So our work is in the field right now, boots on the ground, if I can say it that way. So the email will be provided, but the best support that I will say in response to your question, Sister Kalita, is if you're living a sober way of living life and that is your demonstration, encourage it, because this disease, and that's exactly what it is. It is a disease, and it is a disease that is, it's not prejudicial. You don't cry in Arabic. You don't hurt in French. You don't laugh in Greek. Pain is pain, and people who are involved with substance abuse, I should know because I've lived it, are simply trying to escape some form of trauma in their past, and to have someone give of themselves and show an identical chip, a familiarity chip and platform that, hey, man, or hey, sister, I've been there. Let me share with you some of the things I've been through. And that is a part of the adab. At the root of that word, it means to invite, alhamdulillah, right? And so we give of ourselves transparency, hoping that they have the courage to do so as well, because only getting down to the bottom of why do you find it okay to be in a house with no lights, no gas, and candles, and human traffic going back and forth with people smoking drugs, as opposed to getting yourself together in a treatment facility. And some of us even had homes. I know I did. I had a place to live. I had a place to lay my head. But I chose to be in the streets in that kind of situation. And eventually I had to ask myself, why was that okay for you, Brother Umar? And I'm speaking, as our caller spoke of, as a Muslim. Recidivism is directly reflecting upon the Muslims today. Islam is not a cure-all without us doing the work. But the reality is that there are far too many of us that put our heads in the sand, and because we have these kufis on, praise be to Allah, we speak a little bit of Arabic, alhamdulillah, we may even make some prayers, attend some jummas, but behind the scenes we're suffering. And I don't believe that we have enough work happening as it relates to substance abuse in the Islamic community. I'm even involved with interfaith work. I live in an environment where when my wife is traveling with me, I pass by on one street, an Islamic center, a church, and Kingdom Hall, all on one block. So this is the situation that we're in. So my response to that, to AM360 and the caller, as far as any way of contribution, please live it. Share this message. I am open to be contacted at the information at the end of the show, at the end of the program, I'm sorry, and I have no problem with spending time and discussing matters of healing and sobriety. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. We have another caller, Brother Umar. We're going to go to 727-408. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the United States.
Praise be to Allah. Thankful to you for your guests, sister. Brother Umar, you know, just listening to you, let me know that Allahu Akbar. So praise be to Allah. There's something I wrote that I like to share. This is something that Imam Muhammad looked at for all of us, the African Americans we're dealing with this. Here we go. I'm gonna name it a bad experience for a future good. We should be thankful for our Creator, who had brought many of the righteous together. We are blessed to be able to start all over again as a people, having revelation that keep us responsible. The great majority of us were put in bad circumstances, made slaves in America. Now America is benefiting from our intelligentsia. Knowing our potential, acting and thinking rational. Most of our choices are made not as subjects, but as free thinkers, utilizing revelation, helping others as truth bringers. A bad experience for future good. Hopefully we aren't being misunderstood. Look at the beautiful poor people that came out of the poverty of the land and the intellect. It is God's will and plan that we be the best. A mercy to the world, helping it pass its test. God has changed our state into a beautiful one. It's a lot of good work we have done. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, and thank you so much, Brother Bilal, who is our poet laureate, and he has been for some time, and we are grateful to Allah for him. And so I'm going to check the queue for any questions. We're going to have one. If you have a question, press one to come into the queue. And I do have a question. I want to know how the religion of Islam was a determining factor for you in order for you to be able to be here today in the right mind frame and be able to help others. Because I know it wasn't a piece of cake, as you were expressing, but I just want to know, you know, how the religion was able to impact your life during those trials, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, AM360. Yes. In Surah 57, Al-Hadid, the iron, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran after the Bismillah, that nothing happens on earth or in your souls except what is decreed by Allah. And he says that that is easy for him, so that you do not brag, meaning in general humanity, over favors that are bestowed upon you, nor become despondent, depressed, or fall back by things that pass you by. And this is easy for Allah. Sadaqa wa al-Azim, and I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit. And it takes me to an authentic hadith that in Sahih Bukhari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that nothing that is for you will pass you by, and everything that has passed you by was never for you. The pens have been lifted and the ink is dry. Alhamdulillah. I hold on to that, and I held on to that. In 94, my life was in turmoil. Like most young men. And I was blessed to meet my father, Imam Tariq Ansar Akil. And at that time, anything is what I was looking for to change the life that I had been living. I was tired, but I didn't know how to tap out. And so Allah blessed me to meet him. And he was very patient, and I was no easy case to deal with, you know, the kind of young man to keep 20 men tired. And he looked at me after he identified me as his son, and immediately he got to work after overlooking the tattoos on my body from my life of gang involvement and dysfunction. And he said to me, if you will let me, I will show you how to be a man. I had never heard nothing like that before. I made it very difficult for him. And in Allah's mercy, in the year of 1996, I was blessed, I'll say it that way, to be in the company of him again at his location at that time. And it was then that Allah opened my heart to Islam and I became a Muslim. Now, to answer your question, what got me through was understanding that there was nothing that was bearing false witness in my life. I had been living my life since a child between the city and the cemetery. It was only a wonder by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I was even still breathing in my 20s, let alone in my 30s. And again, through life's turbulence, he was there, and he began to take time to show me through his example. It wasn't a whole lot of Quran he shared with me, a hadith. In fact, one night I recall him running late for Maghrib Salat, and I seen him take off at a very high pace to go catch Maghrib because the window was so short, things like that. So for me, I learned about the fitrah. And I learned very quickly that my fitrah, my natural nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, was very twisted. And that Islam had the properties and the potential, if I obeyed, to give me back my fitrah. And what was my fitrah? My fitrah was that child that loved to play with puppies and help people across the street, a kind child. And I was so far away from that. And Islam told me through my readings and watching other men that I aspired to be like, starting with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would give me that back. And that Islam would introduce me to James and not the gang member I had become, the junkie I had become, the criminal I had become. And then to add water to that, praise be to Allah, continually sparing my life, then blessed to meet a wonderful woman, my wife. I cannot say enough. We know that in Islam, marriage is half your deen. And he's given me that, praise be to Allah. So what worked for me was a brutal, honest submission. And let me tell you, respectfully so when I say that, it's no easy task. It means taking everything that you learned, that I learned, in those streets, in the prison system, in all the books that I had read, that this was incorrect information. You are nothing what those tattoos say. To be a man doesn't mean that you hit somebody in the head if you don't have a dollar. I had never heard that you get up and work for a living and that in Islam your romance is defined by your finance. And charity is what real men do, being kind and humble. So for me, it took a complete stepping back and evaluating myself. And I took that time, had plenty of it sitting in that cell for 20-something years. And I knew that I'd been placed in the cave because I was blessed to have constant reminders that it's only for a while. And so I finally submitted to the fact that Allah decreed this for me because he could have let me die like a junk in an alley with somewhere where somebody hit me in the head for a nickel piece of dope. But instead he let me live.
And if I may,
yes.
Yes.
I just wanted to say to build on what he said also. When we remember in our dawah efforts that Allah is the only one who makes Muslims. So when he approaches the human soul and awakens him or her from the stress that their du'as have been made to him to answer, you know right then you're almost on your way.
Yeah.
Being free, all you have to do is accept the guidance that your creator has came in person, said you have the opportunity to be my servant and go out and free others like yourself, like Umar is doing now. He's following the instructions on how to say, take those two things Allah left every human being and save your own soul first so that you can be a model that you don't have to talk about. If you live this Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad in your life, others will watch and see, and inshallah, Allah will invite them also to be his servants because all of us were created to be that. And then those who have struggled with it, like all of us do, in different circumstances. You just have to repent. But it's so good to know that Allah has already given us a natural inclination to do what is right and to just hear and obey, not question or recite and all that, but just hear and obey what he is instructing you, because he is divine. And also in closing, we should thank Allah very much, those of us who have come in this time of the life cycle of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the life cycle of Imam Warfi Muhammad, because this is a time when Allah, when he approaches a human being, everybody on this earth is getting the same opportunity that we are getting. They're getting the chance to be his servant. And he is directly making sure everyone knows, because Imam Muhammad told us that. Imam Muhammad said, our job is to make sure every human being know the truth that there's only one creator and Muhammad is his messenger, and then let them follow their own will towards what is best for them. And if we are out there building schools and hospitals, institutions for those who might have mental strain, intellectual strain on them, and be able to be what Allah says, to be not only a counselor, but be the comforter. Prophet Isa said, and prophesied, those, speaking of Prophet Muhammad as a community, we are, our job is to counsel those who are coming from the oppression of the shaitan and the whispers of the shaitan, and comfort them with jobs, food, shelter, clothing, transportation, because those things have already been made available in every system of life on this earth. All the people have to do is be, like in our masjids, we should have a department for everything where people can get food stamps, where they can get the help that we might not have at that time, but at least we can show them that we know what Allah has already prepared for them if they just be patient and tolerant of this situation. Come and talk about it anytime that you want to. Come and learn how to make your prayer, like Imam Muhammad said. Imam Muhammad said, quit rushing people to Shahada. First tell them about the religion, because they're already there by Allah's permission and invitation. Not ours, not there, but they're there. So all we have to do is give them time to understand what the obligation, the responsibility of the life that they are getting ready to get from their creator, called Al-Islam, and give them a chance to know what they're going to have to do to get that. Just want to say, very important that we reflect on what Allah has taught us already. Imam Muhammad said, when he came on board by Allah's commission, inshallah, Allah Alam, he said, Allah is teaching us, not me, not nobody else. He said, right now, Allah is teaching every one of you who has this responsibility on them to build this model community. But remember, no one has done it yet. No one has done it yet. That's why Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is waiting on his ummah to come together, peaceability law. And alhamdulillah, we're doing it. But we can do it a lot more clearer and faster when we join together as one soul. Just want to say that. That's it. Assalamu alaikum.
Did you want to respond to that, Brother Umar, before we close out?
No. Well put, well put. Alhamdulillah, as it relates to the brother's dissertation, that's very, very clear. We know that we do get more work done together, for Allah said, let a band of you go forth. So we know that everyone's not going to go forth. Everyone's not supposed to go forth. But that doesn't mean that we neglect or don't look for a formation of that band of people, you know, to go forth with a message. And I want to say that in this day and time, the message for us, along with our daily example, starts first with Tawheed, the correct understanding of God. Because without that, that is the worst form of oppression, to not have the correct understanding of God. And so this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the seerah of Islam, be it Martin Lane, Karen Armstrong, Marmaduke Pitcall, some say 13, some say 11, as far as our writers, you know, Adams, that this was his dawah, his message from the very beginning was always the oneness of God. And so I believe firmly that it starts there.
with that, but I completely receive and support and join with the brother's statement of our last caller. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, yes, thank you. This is very insightful and just reinforces that we really need to do more dialogue and that we need to be more in tune with our community needs outside of our masjids and our families and our jobs, our schools. I know we're giving. We're very loving people. We're giving as much as we can in our prospective communities, in our various ways of giving to our places of employment, whether we have our own businesses, our organizations, and, of course, our own initiatives in the community. But we also we need to have more insight into the needs of our community and the people in our community to have needs that we may not be aware of. And that is what you're doing, and we thank Allah for you for being able to bring that to the forefront here tonight on Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we do go higher. We're going to give you an opportunity, Brother Umar, to go ahead and tell us again in detail how we can donate to your organization. I know you said that just, you know, be true to yourself, live the deen, be that model person for others to follow. In addition to that, we're also aware that you do we are on earth on this side, we do need resources to live and make things happen. So we're going to ask you, if you don't mind, sharing a website, a phone number, or a way that we can mail our contributions to you, or whatever your preference is at this time, please.
Alhamdulillah. To our listeners and our guests, praise be to Allah. I'm going to give you my email. My email address is all lowercases, Samaj, S-E-M-A-J, low score, loves, L-O-V-E-S, at yahoo.com. And if you contact me, praise be to Allah, through my email, we can go from there discussing any form of donations that may be needed, which are needed. Let me say that. But I would rather someone contact me first, and I can personalize that, praise be to Allah, because everyone's situation is not the same. And so I stand by the idea, Sister Khalida, regarding the demonstration, but you're right. You know, masjids have lights. Those lights have to be paid for. We may water with water. That's not for free. And so every organization, though mine is at this time sort of grassroots situation, alhamdulillah, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I am open for that, praise be to Allah. So let's start there. Also, a number that I can be reached at is 840-587-7534, and that is Brother Umar Ibn Tariq Akil. And again, my email address is Samaj, S-E-M-A-J, low score, loves, at yahoo.com. And if there's anyone that is listening to this broadcast that has an interest in the work that I'm doing here in Southern California, feel free to contact me. Feel free to contact me at any given time. Alhamdulillah. Yes.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Spangler. Have time, Chaplain Abdur Rashid Muhammad, the first Islamic captain in the United States Armed Services, is the imam there in San Diego, a masjid there, and he has a screen phone number, so I can give you his number because he screens all who's calling him, and inshallah, let me pull that number up right quick and give it to you, because he is certified for ISNA chaplaincy and training for chaplains and especially prison chaplains, you know, and he might be somewhat.
As-salamu alaykum, are you still there?
I am, sister, yes.
Okay. I think the brother might have dropped off, but he was giving you some contact information so you can network, and inshallah, that would be helpful. 706,
sure.
Were you finished with your alhamdulillah? Was there anyone else at this time who would like to make a final closing statement or have a question or comment? We'll be cool. I thought I saw a hand. If you did not, I would close the mic. 909, did you have a question? Okay. We're going to close the mic.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you so much for this program, especially this segment. This is my favorite program here, Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher, alhamdulillah. I had a couple of questions, and it was the effect of the program that Umar has and what he has seen or what he envisions as being the positive effect on not only the individual, but their family and their ability to contribute to their community once they achieve sobriety.
Alhamdulillah. So any family, starting with inside the home or community, as we filter out, and we know that the family is actually the first community. Islam teaches us that very clearly. And anyone who has a family member who is in the grips of addiction, they are all too well familiar with the, respectfully so, the hell that their loved one is in. Maybe there's a lot of bridges that are burned, relationships that are torn and fragmented because of that situation. So sober way of living life, if the participant is willing to allow the program, because the program in and of itself, praise be to Allah, has been proven effective, and I thank Allah for that. If they're willing to walk through the steps of the Genesis phase, the Meridian phase, and the Exodus phase, and what we mean by that is we always do a polling when we have a group of men or a group of people. And our polling is very short, and it goes like this. How many of you, what age were you when you first encountered drugs and alcohol? And the hands will go up. And it's usually in the age area of 13 and 14, 15. And it's a proven fact that generally it starts at that age. And so for someone that is willing to go all the way back to their adolescence, which is generally where it starts at, and uncover the reason as to why they first begin using drugs. Now, mind you, we know that curiosity is always an issue when you're that young. Peer pressure is a second one. But what we're asking is, after they've seen the ravages of what drugs can do to the human life, even before it started ravaging theirs directly, why did you stay? That is the Meridian phase, which is the phase of ownership and acceptance and acknowledgement as to explain to yourself. And we try to escort them through that area of why was it okay. And we share clinical information, we share direct information from that. And what we've discovered is that if they complete the program, which is generally a 10-week program, and we see them again, they're saying that their families are saying, when they do contact them and see them, we see the difference, we see the work that you're doing. And so what Swole does, it eliminates one less, not all, but one less threat to someone's house being broken into, someone being harmed. It eliminates one less threat to a business in our community that's being vandalized because someone is looking for money for drugs. And we do it one individual, inshallah, at a time. And that is the benefit. If I can say it that way, all praise is due to Allah program, which is framework for recovery and insight into our addiction. Yes, sir.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got cut off. Like I said, I don't know how to work these phones, and I don't know how much you heard what I said. I wanted to give you the telephone number of Imam Abdul Rashid Muhammad. He's the imam there in San Diego. He's the first Islamic chaplain in the United States Armed Services. And he is a training, and he has classes and certification for chaplains all over the United States to our community as well as ISDA. And I thank Hickman too. Tell him that Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia, gave you his number. Well, he has a screen phone service, so you have a chance to tell him who's calling and, you know, that you referred to him by Brother Muhammad out of Columbus, Georgia. And he will probably call you back as soon as he gets a chance. And I'm pretty sure he could be a very good help to you. He's the only chaplain in the encyclopedia, you know. And he's archaeology is his degree, PhD in that, and he has some other bunch of other. But I'm pretty sure he could help you because he certifies all chaplains through those things. So, just let you and him talk. Inshallah, but Allah bless y'all too. Connect, and I'm pretty sure Allah will guide y'all into how he can help you, and you can help him to help you while you're helping him also. Inshallah.
Thank you so much.
The telephone number is 803-463-2881. And don't forget to tell him, Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. You know, he's talking about we worked together for 15 years because I was an Islamic lay leader for the United States Armed Service for 15 years. So
thank
I'm pretty
you so
sure
much,
he can help you. Yes, sir, inshallah. All right.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum salam to the Muslim.
Mashallah. Beautiful, beautiful. We have another caller. 321-917. Welcome to Narrative Aspirations. Your mic is open. 321-917.
Hello?
Yes, welcome, 321-917, area code 321. Your mic is open. Go ahead with your comment or question, please. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, my mic was pulled. I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Umar. I just wanted to thank you for your clarity and honesty and really sharing with us from your experience and your mission to help others to recover and become functional and better citizens. So we appreciate you very much. We pray Allah bless you with the strength you need. Continue your work, and I hope you can keep us informed with the progress, and it's inspiring for all of us to know and to hear firsthand from someone who has experienced it. So I think that's a powerful message that can be shared when we learn from people who have experienced the real, all of us have had challenges in life and different things, but, you know, I think yours is rather unique and very noteworthy. So please keep up the good work, inshallah.
Thank you so much, your brother. Wa alaikum salam to the Muslim.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. That is Imam DeLacy Umar, who is one of our respected hosts here on America Muslim 360. I recognize his voice, so thank you so much for those comments. And you can always go back and listen to this again if you have time on am360.org, and you can just go under the podcast and they're listed in order by their name in the day and time. So we thank you. We would like for you to go ahead and say some closing comments. What would you like to leave our listening audience with? Did you need some water? Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. Praise be to Allah.
Okay. Praise be to Allah.
A closing statement, a closing thought, in closing with the program. I believe that one of the most, if not the most important, noteworthy comment or ideal that I would leave our listeners with is, please do not have the
thought process that because we are Muslims, that we got it all figured out. That's not the reality. The reality is that we struggle with things differently, just as anyone else that does not have this divine book of the Quran, or anyone following divine scriptures in and of itself. But for us, it is the Quran. But oftentimes we find that, I have found, let me say that personally, I have found, using the I statement, that there are too many of us that have given the impression that we're okay. And that's not the reality. The reality is that we're struggling with addiction of various forms, but primarily substance abuse and mental health. And so the first step is always the best step, which is asking for help. A self-admittance that what I've been doing has not been working for me. It's been causing problems in my life for quite some time. And once I'm able to admit that, my next step is to reach out to someone for help. I don't believe anyone has all of the answers, but collectively we can come up with something. If it's nothing but a word of encouragement, a sharing of a similar situation, just to let that someone know that you are not alone. Allah is with you, yes, all the time. But the reality is that he's given us a community of human beings in the flesh, and people down here have sensitivity. And we're lacking a sense of compassion with our busy lives. And so I stand, praise be to Allah, as someone who is saying, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to hear you out. I won't bombard the conversation. When you ask for anything that I have regarding information, I will give it to you. There's no judgment here. It's a sober way of living life. There's simply a desire to help. And if we don't know something, we'll go find out for you as well as for ourselves. Thank you so very much.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Definitely a servant leader. And we thank Allah for your transparency and honesty. And we hope and pray that Allah continues to bless you and guide you in this endeavor. And so, listening audience, you heard it tonight here on Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we do go higher. And Brother Umar is definitely aspiring to go higher and also take other people with him. And that's what we want to do. We want to inspire each other, being a mirror to one another, using the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also sense, perseverance, human qualities that Allah gives us to use in order for us to be successful on this side, as well as after. So, Brother Umar, thank you for joining us, and inshallah, we'll have you back soon. You got a lot of callers, a lot of people who are in the mindset of supporting and working vis-a-vis the law. So that is a very great sign that you are on the right track. So if you don't mind closing this out, go ahead. What were your comments?
I was going to say, thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. MashaAllah. Thank you for joining us. So if you would select the dua to close us out, we will wrap it up here tonight. And we hope that you'll join us next Wednesday, inshallah. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. O Allah, you are the owner of creation. You are creator and we are creation. There's no God but you. We know that we have nothing good in our lives except what you have given us. We have no power to refrain from what is wrong, nor to do what is right except with your leave. We thank you and we praise you for waking us this morning and every day that you've blessed us with our problems to also have a purpose. O Allah, the fact that you woke us this morning with your blessings of eyesight, speech and hearing, our minds and bodies, inshallah, for some of us in good condition, food, water, shelter and clothing and bedding and the air that we breathe that's not ours but yours, is proof positive for us that you're not through with us yet. O Allah, forgive us for our faulty selves, our sins that are committed in the open and those that are committed in private, but nothing is hidden from you. Please protect us from the torment of the grave and the torment of the hellfire. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, listening on the as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Stop the music.
There are so many of us, all we need is just to show each other that we appreciate each other. And we have the resources, moral resources, spiritual resources, intellectual resources. We have all the resources right here among ourselves to establish proper people and give them proper roles, fitting roles in our own community. And they will be good models, good supervisors for us. You all tell me that you're proud of me. You're happy now. You got an imam. You got a leader you can trust. I like to hear that. But I would feel much better if I saw you trusting each other, too. Because I'm one. I can die anytime. You have to trust each other.
Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be with you. I'm Mukhtar Muhammad, Executive Director for the Community Wide Shura Conference, or CWSC, a national intelligentsia and the parent corporation for American Muslim 360. I'm inviting you to be my guest on a special series entitled Getting to Know the CWSC, and it'll be in place of our regularly scheduled Friday roundtable. But don't worry, Mark Shahid will be back in the host seat the following Friday. Getting to Know the CWSC will air every 8 weeks. This new program will be a unique opportunity to hear directly from the executive director. It will be an in-depth discussion on the conceptualization and building a national intelligentsia to serve the group intellect. We'll take you inside our architecture, mission, vision, and guiding principles, and our family of intelligentsia components, including America Muslim 360. So stay tuned to hear more about Getting to Know the CWSC. I look forward to talking with you soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Ah, yes. Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you. This is Martha Naila Abdullah, one of the gracious hosts here on American Muslim 360. And I am so happy to be able to share this moment with you. It is the end of the year, and we're asking you to join us with the end of the year telethon. You can go to cwsc.us and press on the blue button. That's the donate button. It is a confidential site. Help us reach our $10,000 goal. This is a tax-deductible contribution. Now, our most recurring and the most popular amount is $9.99 a month, or 33 cents a day. And that amount, based on all of us doing our part, will ensure our intelligentsia is strong and ready to remake the world. You can mail your contribution, your gift, by sending in your check or your money order to CWSC, to CWSC, Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Or you can call it in to 910-317-0297. A representative will assist you with making your contribution. Again, the end of the year telethon, and your assistance is needed, reaching our $10,000 goal. Thank you for your continued support. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Sister Noura Amatala Muhammad reminding each and every one of you to register in the Model Community National Resource Directory. We need to know your skills, your talents, your experience, your professional expertise, whatever you have to offer to help us to strengthen the model community in order that we may go on and do the great work for which we are responsible, to remake the world. It is our collective intellect that will accomplish this task. And each one of us is responsible to let it be known what you have to offer for this great task that lies ahead of us. It is through our strong model community that we will be able to remake the world. It is our collective intellect that is most important in this process. Working together, we can build a strong and viable community that will serve the needs of all of us in the process to remake the world. Register today. Go to www.bwsc.us and search for MCNRD, the Model Community National Resource Directory. BWSC wants to know you by your talent, your skills, and all that you have to offer. Don't forget to register today. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspiration. Believe, when we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
All right, thank you so much for joining us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.